And now,
11LRNI.
Now the lights dim low, soon we'll start the show.
Here comes LF Midwood.
Specials on 11LRNI. Excuse me. I'm feeling a little. I got a little bug thing going on here. My throat. And my back is killing me. I mean, it is literally killing me. It has not been this bad in quite some time. But I'm in the chair. I decided, considering I wasn't around so much in, you know, lately. we actually that was, again, the Specials. Terry Hall. Died, the lead singer of the Specials. He passed away December 22nd, I believe. So it was in those the black period. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to do anything. So I figured I'd play that. You know, it was my friend Ruben who got me into ska and the skinhead scene in general in New York City. These aren't the Geraldo skins. These are the other skins. If you look it up now, I guess the terminology would be traditional, meaning kind of falls in line with what was going on in 1969 in England, minus the Packy bashing. Actually, I don't think the Packy bashing started until like 70 or so. I could be wrong about that, but so yeah, he got me into the whole scene. I have some of you may know, some of you don't. I have a crucified skin tattooed on my right arm, upper arm. And I've never had any inclination to have that removed. I got it. I think Ruben and I got it the same day. He was mad, I think, that I got it the same day he did, because I think I had a little bit more to go as far as he was concerned. But we managed to get them on the same day. And the two that we got are slightly different than the regular crucified skin that you may see, which I think the ADL. I think they're qualifying it as a hate symbol now, last time I checked. But the one that Ruben got and the one that I got, they have the two little Fred Perry wreaths on the shirt. And that's not in the the original drawing, as it were. I got to tell you, when you're standing on a corner anywhere in Manhattan with like 50 to 75 other skinheads, it's an experience. I don't know if I've ever felt safer in my life, quite frankly. So, we used to usually meet up around Bleeker Bob's on a Friday night, Saturday night, and then drift off into the city. We went to clubs, we went to shows, we got into fights with boneheads, which we considered to be, we wouldn't consider them to be, they were neo-Nazi skins. That's how they portrayed themselves. So we would just get into fights on a regular. We referred to them as boneheads. And it was an interesting part of my life. I came to it late and I left too early. A lot of good friends, a lot of good times. One thing I can say about that crucified skin tattoo, we used to have a saying that, 6 months after getting one, you would either be dead or in prison. And I went a little longer than 6 months, but I did eventually wind up in prison. So go figure, you know. And with Terry Hall's passing, I thought I'd play something. You know, it's so hard because there's so many great songs. And, you know, I listened to some stuff that I hadn't heard in a long time that I probably am going to present in some way or fashion coming up. As soon as I get back into editing, I'm not really too much into editing at the point in time. My head's not really there yet because it's a lot of work. It minimal compared to something like what John Lightning does. Don't get me wrong. But still, nonetheless, it takes a little work, and you have to kind of have your head in the right space to be able to do it in a fashion that is going to be good. It's played good. Things have been all right around here this week. I figured out that the drugstore isn't that far away from me. I mean, I knew it wasn't, but it's like half a mile. So I've been making trips up to the drugstore walking this week. And I think I might have tweaked something. I'm going to take some tea. I've been drinking a lot of that 4C peach ice tea. You know, I like it because I kind of grew up on 4Cs, you know. And I had to get away from the blue stuff. See, I drank the blue stuff to get away from the soda. And now I'm drinking the tea to get away from the blue stuff. It's always something with Midwood. It's always something. Ask anybody who knows me. So I bought a big canister of 4Cs peach flavored. I wasn't paying attention to the iced tea scene because I love Snapple peach iced tea. I was down in those in the days like they were going out of fashion. And this was before I was diabetic. And I haven't been able to find any anywhere. So we were shopping online, and I saw the 4Cs with peach in it. And I was like, ooh. So we ordered some of it, and I've demolished it so far. And the interesting thing about it is, and maybe I'm making a step forward now that I think about it, because the soda had high fructose, which really explodes as sugar in your bloodstream. And the blue stuff, while not carbonated, still had high fructose corn syrup. That's what it is. And say that three times. So moving to the blue stuff wasn't really moving up, other than getting rid of the caffeine and the carbonation, right? So now I'm on a tea, and it's cane sugar in there. They're using cane sugar in the 4C stuff, which you don't really see that much anymore in too many things, like Mexican Coke, you know. I think they do. I know they do one of the other ones. I know there's a new soda that Coke put out to try and deal with Sprite, and I might have to try it, but I might like wait to my like birthday or something and have a little bit of it, because I'm trying to be a little bit healthier. Like I said, last time I was on a scale, I was about 222, which is the lightest I've been in about 12 years, and I'm not. I guess my appetite is coming back slowly, and there was a while there where the producer was just getting stuff she knew I would eat, so that I would at least eat whether it was healthy for me or not. So I'm kind of kind of doing a little bit better now. And I'm eating a little bit more normal stuff. I may actually take over the kitchen again pretty soon. I've kind of decided that it would be probably constructive. I do probably better meal planning, and I'm just a better overall cook in general. So I think I'll be doing that, and that'll mean I have to like at least get up reasonably early to get into the kitchen to start my mise en place, which takes forever. Just chopping stuff up takes forever. Not even the cooking process. It's the chopping. It's the slicing. It's the dicing. And I don't know. We got a new set of knives. I think I might have mentioned. I don't remember. We got Amazon, their own brand knives with the block. And they seem to be pretty freaking sharp. So one of these days, if I ever really, 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 really get back into the kitchen, I'm going to want to get a set of something nice, something German. You have to have German knives or you're nobody, you know? So I'm going to look for get a set of German knives somewhere down the line. But as I said, we're limping along, slow but steady. I have a couple of doctor's appointments coming up this week, so I'll have to leave the house again, which is good. And I'm obviously planning a trip down to New York to be able to get John back online with his own server. That's in the mix in the next, I don't know, month or so, I'm guessing. I don't know. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing as far as like, you know, like in this morning process thing. I don't know. I have never experienced before, so I don't know up, down. I've had people tell me things, and I've been grateful for that because obviously they've experienced it themselves. It's just been catastrophic. And I think a big part of this is Jerry was like a security blanket for me, I think. I knew wherever I went and whatever I did, as long as I didn't kill anybody, there was a couch waiting for me if I needed it. And now I don't have that. So now I'm walking on a wire without a net. And it's a whole other aspect of her death that I've only just really started to process a little bit because we're supposed to be moving along in the next 6 to 9 months to Texas. You know, I traded my combat boots for cowboy boots, which I have 2 pair of, I would like to point out. I'm looking at a third. It's just strange. You know, you almost feel bad about moving on. You know, you almost feel like you're doing a disservice to the person, you know, or their respect, or, you know, a lack of respect by moving on. But I don't know how long I was supposed to hovel in this room watching porn stars and, you know, eating Chinese food. I don't know. You know, if there isn't a thing. I know there isn't a thing. I haven't even been able to, the urn is in the bedroom. I haven't even been able to pick the urn up and look at the urn. I know what it looked like because there was one on the table at the friggin' funeral home. So I know exactly what it looks like. Mine's in a box because we split it up 3 ways between myself, my aunt, and one of my cousins. So I know, you know, what it looks like and not. And I was kind of like in a groove, like doing stuff. There's this, the endless sirens of Providence, Rhode Island. I was kind of, you know, maybe get up and do a couple few things around the house and this and that. My neighbor from across the way, I don't know if I've mentioned my neighbor Joe before, but he's a real good guy. He's been here like 30 years or something. He was here before Jerry. And it's our house. It's a parking lot that belongs to him. And then it's his house. And the reason he has the parking lot is because he rents to people. And he's, you know, not an absentee landlord because he lives right up the block, you know, so things can't get out of control. And he's a pretty put his foot down kind of guy. He's an older black gentleman. He knocked on my door because I had a couple of bags. We had cleaned out Jerry's car and we just kind of pulled the bags over towards the trash. And I never remembered to put them in the dumpsters when the dumpsters were here when we were cleaning out. And Joe knocks on, he goes, you know, I know there's no food or anything in there because I know you better you wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't because of rats. He said, you know, if you want, I'll help you get rid of the bags and whatnot. And I think he was assuming that I would tell him that Jerry was sick, you know, or she was in the hospital or something. Unfortunately, I had to tell him that she had passed away, and he was really upset. And I feel really bad, because I should have said something to him sooner. I should have gone over and knocked on the door, let him know when the service was. You know, there was 2 weeks between her leaving here and the service. There was, I just didn't think of it. I was so much in a cloud, and it's not like he wasn't on my radar. I just figured I'd see him and he'd drive around and I'd catch him a lot sooner, and I never did. And so it was a shock for him and his wife, and it kind of sucked me right back down into the hole where I was practically crying in front of the house. I got rid of the bags. There's the good news. And, we're soldiering on. I really don't know what else to say. I've been through a lot of things that have caused me to mourn in my life. Not all things you mourn have to do with death, unfortunately. There are things in your life, losing great things, or opportunities, that you mourn for to a degree. I think it's a normal thing, you know? So I've kind of, I don't want to say I've been through it, because I've never been through losing a person, and that's different. But I have mourned for people who are alive. Let's just put it that way. And that being said, let me see what's going on here. You know, maybe I can read a little bit about the specials. Yeah, that's what I'll do. That'll take a minute or two. My thing's working here? Yeah, okay. I got news saved in different, it's different things I got going on here, because my tablet will only let me do certain things. So what I like to do is I like to drag the story. I like to go into, I'm exclusively Android, and I like to go in and have it say put on desktop, and it'll put on my desktop and everything will be great. But for some reason, some apps, you know, some pages won't do it because they have their own app and they want you to download their app in order to get their stories. And I'm not a big fan of doing that. So what I'm doing is I have stuff on my desktop and I have stuff in my browser that are entirely separate. Now that I've said that, nobody cares. Let me hit the specials. Here they are. This is directly out of Wikipedia, just in case some of you weren't aware. The specials, also known as the Special AKA, are an English two-tone and ska revival band formed in 1977 in Coventry. After some early changes, the first stable lineup of the group consisted of Terry Hall, who I've mentioned, Neville Staple on vocals, Jerry Drammers on keyboards, Levin Golding and Roddy Radiation on guitars, Horace Panther on bass, John Bradley on drums, Dick Cuthill and Rico Rodriguez on horns. I love the horns, by the way. That's the thing that, you know, when Ruben started to turn me on to these bands, I started to do a little deeper digging. And, you know, just ska itself, not attached to the two-tone movement, is excellent. I had a lot of stuff on CD that got heisted when I got divorced. But luckily, in the 90s, you're able to find most of, or I should say, is it the 90s? Oh, God. In 2023, I'm able to find a lot of stuff on in the cloud, as they say, between various between YouTube and YouTube Music, which I think I'm subscribed to, which used to be Google Music. I'm not quite sure what they did there. You can find most of the stuff. Like I was playing a lot of Bad Manners before I started the show. I was like, oh, this is good, and it just kind of takes you down a path that you don't go down on a regular basis, or at least I hadn't. Their music combines danceable rhythms of ska and rock steady with the energy and attitude of funk. Literally, their work, often written by primary songwriter Dammers, presented overt political and social commentary. So, the band wore mod-style 60s period rude boy outfits, pork pie hats, of which I own one, tonic and mohair suits, and loafers. In 1980 song Too Much Too Young, the lead track on the Special AKA live EP reached number one in the U.S. singles charts. In 1991, the recession themed single Ghost Town also hit number one in the UK. After several consecutive UK top 10 singles between 79 and 81, main vocalists Hall and Staple, along with guitarist, left to form Fun Boy 3. continuing the special AKA name they use frequently on earlier specials releases. A substantially revised special lineup issued new material into 1984. After this, founder Jerry Damrosch dissolved the band and pursued political activism. The group reformed in 93 and have continued to perform and record varying lineups, none of them involving Damrosch. So that's just a little. Well, this the I think it's the wait a minute. Okay, I don't want to get rid of that. Got to be very careful about what I close and how I close it. Otherwise, I'm going to lose news. Lose news. I don't want to lose news. Definitely do not. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff, obviously, it didn't chart in the U.S. I don't think the specials charted in the U.S. at all. I could be wrong about that. As far as the two-tone sound goes, the only thing that did chart in the U.S. was Madness, Our House. And if you've only ever heard that one song by Madness, you are missing lots. Let's say lots, like tons even. Tons. I gotta check this screen pop, make sure it's not rusting on me. But yeah. Yeah, so a tip of the hat to Two Tone tonight, as it were. Let me get the news. I just saw this and I thought this was kind of like not good. It seemed kind of, this is by Zero Hedge, and this is by a storyline under Tyler Durden, who we obviously know from Fight Club. Apparently, he needed a job after the movie. So here it is. This was dated Saturday the 14th. So this is like just yesterday or today for me. In a case of odd bedfellows, environmental groups and Republican politicians are calling for a pause in offshore wind farm development following a string of whales washing up dead in New Jersey and New York beaches. Seven whales have turned up in a little over a month. The first victim, a 20 to 25 foot juvenile humpback whale, turned up in Brigantine, New Jersey, on Thursday afternoon, close to a Coast Guard station. A wave of dead whales in the ocean is sound. Wait, ooh, what's this say? Okay, scoop. A wave of dead whales is the ocean sounding alarm, and we must heed the warning, said Cindy Ziff, executive director of the Jersey-based Clean Ocean Action. After the sixth whale washed up in Atlantic City on January 7th with signs of head trauma, the wind farm development is too much too fast. Oh, that's interesting. It's outrageous, and our oceans deserve better. On Friday, Congressman Jeff... Where'd he go? On Friday, Congressman Jeff Van Drew, a Republican out of New Jersey, announced he would be seeking a federal investigation. Ocean life is being put at risk as our governor and president force through their Green Deal policies without giving a full consideration to the real-world impacts. Drew sits on the House Coast Guard and Maritime Transportation Subcommittee. New Jersey Republican State Senator Vince Palestina called for a pause in the offshore construction. The work related to offshore wind projects is the primary difference in our waters. It's hard to believe that the death of seven whales on our beach is just a coincidence. For other officials, though, it's the damn whales full speed ahead. Democratic New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said on Friday that the whale, while it's tragic, it obviously suspicions that tied the dead whales to the wind farms development were unfounded and premature, of course. That's what you expect. New Jersey has been on the quest to distinguish itself as top offshore wind state on the East Coast. The Garden State has already approved three offshore wind farms and is soliciting more requests. Clean Ocean Action says that the installation of offshore windmills usually involves exploration of the seafloor and using low-frequency sounds in the same frequency that the whales use. I think that's 50 hertz. 50 hertz or 60 hertz, I forget. I think it's 60. Because I know there's this one whale that oscillates at 50. It's already been tagged and whatnot. And it can't communicate with other whales because it's 10 hertz lower. Isn't that tragic? I think that's tragic. And that's got no, it's not in the article I'm reading. That's just something I read earlier in the week. Earlier this week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said it was unaware of any humpback whales having previously been confirmed as a victim of offshore wind projects. Among other human perils, whales can fall victim to ship strikes, but could sonar disorientation increase that risk? The Marine Mammal Standing Center said it can take months to figure out a beached whale's cause of death. In the meantime, expect Governor Murphy to continue to racing to bolster New Jersey's green energy credentials. Well, that's, you know, there's obviously, is it? I don't think it's coincidental. We'll leave it at that. Let them do their work and figure it out. But it just goes to show how, if it does turn out to be, it just goes to show how short-sighted this green bullshit is. Not for nothing. It's just another way to take money from you. It's just another way to tax you, is what it is. God, such garbage. Absolutely. You know, these are the same schmucks who believe in global warming. Okay. All right. You know what? Let me revise that. I believe in global warming. I don't believe that our man-made gases have anything to do with it, quite frankly. And I'm going to say one more time, because there were hundreds of thousands of dinosaurs roaming around the earth farting. They're worried about cow farts. Can you imagine what one of these dinosaur farts was like? I mean, that's serious emission. Serious emission. You know, and speaking of which, you know, I read this. Apparently, they're going after gas stoves now. This broke pretty big, so I don't even know if I have a story on it, quite frankly. It was that big where I said to myself, nah, I'll just remember it. I'll just remember that. Yeah, the Biden administration is going after gas stoves now, you know, because they figure gas emission and, you know, getting too much gas being used, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's just another, under the guise of saving the planet, they will imprison us. That's what they will do. Stay awake. You know, I feel like I said, more and more as I didn't particularly have a story on this week. Although maybe I do. I'm not sure. That's how short my memory is. I got one of them goldfish memories. What? Goes like that. I haven't had any what you would call symptoms, anything since my fourth Moderna shot. I was ill before the Moderna shot. I haven't been ill in a couple of months as far as my sick or vomiting thing goes. I am tired all the time, but a lot of that has to do with the pills that I'm on. I'm on a lot of sedatives. So I can't say that I've experienced anything that could be construed as directly related to my vaccinations. This is not to say that I don't have things to be worried about going forward. Things like my immune system going away and or my heart just going boop and deciding to stop. I'm fully aware of that. And at this stage, I consider myself to be a guinea pig. I do believe that there's something going on in regards to the vaccinations and having a negative impact. Oh, as far as matter of fact, wait a second. Okay, I don't close that one. I don't know where I put it. Hang on. See, because okay, here it is. This is from Fox News. CDC identifies possible safety concern for certain people receiving COVID vaccines. Okay, and this is the CDC says the safety signal wasn't seen in the Moderna 19 safety signal wasn't seen in the Moderna COVID-19 vaccination. So let me start. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that a preliminary COVID vaccine safety signal has been identified and is being investigated whether the bivalent Pfizer vaccine creates an increased risk in ischemic stroke in people 65 and older. And I know lots of people 65 and older. In the Friday statement, the CDC said that the preliminary signal hasn't been identified with the Bivalent Moderna vaccine. That's the one that I got. Following the availability and use of the updated COVID-19 vaccines, CDC vaccine safety data link, a near real-time surveillance system, met with statistical criteria to prompt additional investigation into whether it was part of a safety concern for ischemic stroke and people age 65 and older who received the Pfizer biotech. BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, Bivent, the CDC said. Rapid response investigation of the signal in the VSD raised a question of whether people 65 or over who have received the Pfizer vaccine were more likely to have ischemic stroke in 21 days following the vaccine, compared with the 22 to 24 following vaccination. According to the CDC, an ischemic stroke occurs when blood clots or other particles block blood vessels to the brain. In a statement, the CDC pointed out that a large study of updated BioNTech vaccines from Pfizer using the Center for Medicine for Medicare and Medicaid Services database revealed no inherent risk of ischemic stroke. The agency also said that the vaccine's adverse event reporting system, managed by the CDC and the FDA, has not seen an increase in reported ischemic strokes following the update vaccine. Okay, so the original one that they had, apparently there was some sort of issue, but only to certain people in a certain demographic. So, okay. In a statement to Fox Digital, a spokesman for Pfizer said, Pfizer and BioNTech have been made aware of the limited reports of ischemic strokes and that have been observed in the CDC vaccine databases in people 65 or older. Vaccination with the Omicron adoptive BioNTech vaccine by Pfizer and BioNTech, neither the CDC or the Food and Drug Administration have observed similar findings across numerous monitor systems in the U.S. and globally. There was no evidence. So they're looking after themselves, right? That's what they're doing. So nothing to worry about, folks. Nothing to worry about. Like I said, I've explained why I got my viruses, why I got my vaccines. And I don't know where I'm at. What we're talking about is, you know, why are we seeing so many people just dropping like that football player who luckily made it back? Luckily they had enough stuff, medical equipment. It was a football stadium after all, you know, a lot of medical equipment in their training rooms and whatever medical rooms, whatever they have doctors and doctor's assistants and all sorts of stuff. Your average person having a heart attack that was induced by something doesn't necessarily have those things available to them. So, Johnson & Johnson has basically just stopped producing theirs. I think they officially called it quits with their vaccine. So that worked out really well, right? There's definitely something going on, and I'm certainly concerned about myself and a lot of other people who took the jab. And I find myself to be I'm moving towards it. I think I have serious regrets about taking the virus, and I have to wonder how much, if at all, it may have played into my aunt's dying. It's hard to say. These things are obviously hard to say. But I don't think I'll be taking any jabs going forward unless it can be solidly proven to me. And that's it. They can't. That's it. I realize I'm a guinea pig, and I'll be a guinea pig for as long as I'm alive, however long that may be, as a result of taking a vaccine that wasn't tested extensively, you know. And I may or may not pay a price for that. It may or may not affect my system. Everybody's system is a little different. You know, when they give you these little minuscule, and they say, oh, it only affected a small amount of people, when you stop and think about the number of people who were vaccinated globally, all of a sudden that little number that's like 1 or 1.5, that's a tremendous amount of people unnecessarily killed. in the name of quote unquote science. So isn't science about following the science? Yes, it is. So if you release something and you don't have the science behind it, what are we saying? Now, I don't talk about this stuff on Facebook anymore because I don't want to get my account closed. But I am, you know, becoming, as they say, the worm is turning for me. Very much so. And there's plenty of media out there. Again, even places on Twitter, you know, they laugh at me. But Twitter, you know, obviously Getter. I believe President Trump's platform, which I have yet to use. I got to admit, I have yet to use. I usually get somewhere and stay there because this whole cross-platform thing is exhausting to me. I'm literally exhausted by it. So, yeah, that's where we are. I don't know if I had anything else. Oh, hang on. I need a drink. Drinky. Wait. That's good. Watch yourself. Okay, we'll probably have to slice a couple of toes off or something. Okay, so that's that. So that's that story. Let's see, what do I got here? This is classified documents. I'm waiting on that one a little bit. This is actually interesting. This is a proposed bill out of the 18th Congress first session. Ooh, smells like new Congress. Anyway, it's H.R.61. And I just want to read this, and then I want to maybe give some thoughts. To prevent and prosecute white supremacy-inspired hate crimes and conspiracy to commit white supremacy-inspired hate crime and to amend Title 18 of the United States Code to expand the scope of hate crimes. Interesting. In the House of Representatives, January 9th, 2023. Ms. Jackson Lee introduced the following bill, which was referred to the Committee on the Judiciary, a bill, to prevent and prosecute white supremacy-inspired hate crime and conspiracy to commit white supremacy-inspired hate crime and to amend Title 18 U.S. Code to expand the scope of hate crimes. I just read that. I hate this so much, you know. Okay. Be it enacted by Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress Assembly. Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the leading against white supremacy act of 2023. I missed that one. I didn't get an invitation. White supremacy inspired hate crime. Okay. This is 7 in A general. A person engages in white supremacy inspired hate crime when the white supremacy ideology has motivated the planning, development, or preparation, thought I knew that word, or precipitation of actions that constitute a crime or were undertaken in furtherance of activity that, if effectuated, would have constituted a crime. Okay. This is B. Conspiracy. A conspiracy to engage in white supremacy-inspired hate crime shall be determined to exist, and this is one, between two or more persons engaged in the planning, development, and preparation of white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or between two or more persons, at least one of whom is engaged in the planning, development, and preparation, or pre-preparation of white supremacy-inspired hate crime, and, here's B, at least one of whom published materials advertising white supremacy ideology, antagonism based upon replacement, antagonism based upon replacement theory, or hate speech that vilifies or is otherwise directed against any non-white person or group. And such published material was published on a social media platform or by other means of publication with the likelihood that it will be viewed by persons who are predisposed to engage in any furtherance of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or who are susceptible to being encouraged to encourage in actions in furthermost of a white supremacy-inspired hate crime. I keep thinking, like, friggin' burrito, like Taco Supreme, whenever I read white crime. I don't know. It's my brain, you know. Just drop out white supremacy and pop in Burrito Supreme. And the question becomes, is the Burrito Supreme actually engaging in burrito supremeness over the other burritos? Excellent question. Excellent question. Anyway. Okay, so could, as determined by a reasonable person, reasonable person, motivate actions by a person predisposed and engaging in white supremacy-inspired hate crime, or by a person who's susceptible to being encouraged, was read, heard, viewed by a person engaged in planning development of preparation or preparatory to a white supremacy is violate crime. The Department of Justice Authority, this is C, enforcement, monitoring, and reporting. The department shall have authority to conduct operations and activities pursuant to this section specifically. One, with regard to information or evidence obtained by the department or any action cited in this section, the department shall have the authority to investigate, intercede, and undertake other actions that it deems necessary and appropriate. Interdict. I guess to like interdiction. That's where that word comes from. So interdict. Mitigate, prevent such action from culminating and violent at culminating. I'm not smart, not like to say, violent activity. And two, the department shall have the authority, this is the State Department now, shall have the authority to persecute persons who are engaged in actions cited in this section. The Uniform Crime Reporting Program in the Department of Justice shall maintain records of white supremacy-inspired hate crimes and related actions cited in this section, and enforcement actions in response thereto. The department shall provide annual reports to the appropriate committees in Congress that shall include information cited in this paragraph. Section C, criminal offense. In the matter proceeding subparagraph A, by inserting after race, color, religion, national origin of any person, the following or because of white supremacy, based motivation against any person. In subparagraph B, in the clause, by striking or at the clause, by striking the period or inserting and C, by adding the end of the following, the offense was in the furtherance of white supremacy-based motivation. Section 4, findings. Section 4702 of the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention is amended by adding at the end of the following. 11. Mass shootings and other hate crimes motivated by white supremacy have been increasing in frequency and intensity. These heinous and violent crimes are inspired by conspiracy theories, blatant bigotry, and mythical falsehoods such as replacement theory. All instances must be prevented and severe criminal penalties should be applied to their perpetrators. That's the end. I put the thing in front of the microphone. I couldn't talk no more. So yeah. I believe I'll be arrested before the vaccine has a chance to kill me. That would be my guess. That would be my guess. But we'll see. I haven't really taken on replacement theory like head on. I've kind of skirted around it. Maybe next show I'll get some stuff together for what replacement theory is and what it means. Because I hate to just dump something and not have some sort of backing for it. But apparently Congress is all prepared for it. They're all ready to, take care of stuff. And, what say you just didn't like the person? Could you still kill him without it being some sort of, thing? All right. Wow. Maran. Okay. What I got? Wait, I have to go back. Okay. I think, did I just screw that up? No, I did not. I got the wind farms. I got the, okay, here we go. This is interesting. Wait, also COVID related. I need a drink. I should just get an IV when I do this. It'll be a lot easier. Boy, I should go on with back pain more because I show up aggravated to begin with, which is some of my best radio. Anyway, this is out of Zero Hedge. FDA advisor says young and healthy people shouldn't get latest COVID boosters. Okay, this is, again, Tyler Durden. Interesting. Did I read this already? No, I read something else, didn't I? Yeah, I did because I delete stuff. Man, let me tell you, my short-term memory, I mean, if you manage to make it in there, you're golden. But some of the short-term stuff, like why did I go into a room? What did I eat for dinner last night? That sort of stuff. It's all gone. Like the fly away, little birdie, fly away. Done. So anyway. This is authored by Jack Phillips via the Epic Times. Okay, so a vaccine advisor to the Food and Drug Administration is questioning whether young, healthy people should get new COVID-19 boosters, arguing those shots should be useful for older individuals. I'm now an older individual, by the way. I believe we should stop trying to prevent all symptomatic infections in healthy young people by boosting them with vaccines containing mRNA from strains that might disappear a few months later. Dr. Paul A. Offit, an FDA vaccine panel advisor and professor of pediatrics at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in New England Journal of Medicine, January 11th. In his article, Offit cited two studies suggesting that bivalent boosters, which target the original COVID-19 strain and the two Omicron variants or subvariants, BA4 and BA5, do not elicit superior immune responses. Why did the strategy for the significantly increasing BA4 and BA5 neutralizing antibodies, a bivalent vaccine failure, he asked. The most likely explanation is imprinting. The immune systems of people immunized with bivalent vaccine, who all of whom have previously been vaccinated, were primed to respond to the ancestral strains of SARS-CoV-2. They therefore probably respond to endotopes shared by BA4 and BA5 and the ancestral strain, rather than the new endotopes on BA4 and BA5. Offit noted that based on those studies, boosting the bivalent vaccine is likely to have a similar effect as boosting a monovalent vaccine, but stressed that vaccine booster dosing is probably best reserved for the people who are most likely to need the protection against severe disease. Another doctor appeared to agree with Offit's conclusions regarding imprinting. Dr. Amish Adjia, a senior scholar with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, told U.S. News that it may be people's immune systems are so primed to respond to ancestral strain spike protein that a reformulated booster is unable to fully stimulate the immune system because it has been imprinted by the original version of the virus. I hate when that happens. More details. Data and studies have been shown that older adults and people who have compromised immune systems are at most risk of developing severe COVID-19 symptoms, hospitalization, and death. Children, meanwhile, have been long shown to have the lowest chance of death, hospitalization, or developing severe symptoms since the pandemic started. Both the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention and the FDA said everyone over the age of six months, get updated boosters at least 2 months after their last dose of the vaccine. The bivalent boosters were authorized under emergency use for children aged 6 months to 4 years on December 9th. Meanwhile, a small number of Americans have received updated boosters, according to the CDC. As of January 4th, some 50% of individuals aged 5 and older received some bivalent shots, while 38% of adults aged 65 and older have gotten them. Yikes. That same CDC data also shows that about 80.9% of Americans received at least one dose of COVID vaccine since they were rolled out 2 years ago, while 69% have completed their initial primary series. Okay. The FDA spokesman, Abigail Capobianca, resided to Offit's article this week, telling NBC News that Offit allegedly used selective data to reach his conclusions, and that we strongly believe that the total available evidence continues to support use of vaccines in all age groups. Why do you like that? It's getting a little hinky. It's definitely getting a little hinky. What's this? Oh, hang on. I got stuff on my, I actually breathed on it, and I got to clean it off. This is the big 12.4. Having an electronic sock in your crotch. 12.4. I don't want to do that. It bores me. Here's some more stuff. Did I read this? Yeah, I did. The safety concern receiving. Oh, wait. Concern for disease control. My final statement. Primary sick. Yeah. Okay. I read that. New system. All right. Well, here's the deal. I do have a couple stories on, but I don't want to. I'm not in the mood. So I'm getting rid of those. I'm going to put the tablet down because I might hurt someone. Well, apparently, as has been noted in the news, they found some classified documents in Biden, I won't even call him President Biden, in Biden's office. And then they found some more. All I can tell you is I remember when they supposedly found or supposedly alleged that there were some secret documents, classified documents, in President Trump's residence at Mar-a-Lago. They called out, they actually called the army in with a couple of tanks to go in to find out that those documents had actually been declassified by the president himself. And why can he do that? Because he's the president. Okay. Or he was the president, right? Biden isn't even smart enough to declassify these documents. These people, they can't say, well, it's declassified. They were, but we changed it. And he can change the status because he's the guy in charge. I see. Quite frankly, my concern is Biden's connections to China. If at the end of the day, it turns out that someone named Biden is tried for treason, I would not be shocked. I would welcome it. I would welcome it. You know, they should just, we should like hang people again. We should hang them in public squares. Let them sit in those metal cages till the birds eat them all up. You know? Yeah, that's what we should do. We're not going to do that because we are civilized. If it's one thing we are civilized. We bring napkins and the proper silverware to our riots. We always have, and we always will. You know, that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm sorry. I just took too much energy. My back hurts. All right. So I guess I'll be back next week. I mean, you know, if they let me, I'll come back and I look forward to conversing at you again. I haven't checked my email, so I don't even know if anybody sent email or anything. I don't really pay attention to it. So there's that. Let me see if I can get this thing started, and I'm going to get out of here, and I'm coming back next week. I said that. Oh, yeah, you can go over to my website, and you'll find my latest archive. If you look up top, the 11L R&I link takes you to John's page, which will then take you to his, I believe he's using SoundCloud for his archives until we can get the server thing all patched up and whatnot. So you have access to John Lightning files via my site. You have access to my own files. You have access to Grits Radio, 11L. Grits Radio is not 11L. Yep, drugs have kicked in. See, I have to time this better. I have, like, lousy timing. I've been told that before in my life greatly. But, yeah. So our good friends at Grits Radio, Brad Reed, I don't know if he's redoing my stream. He might be redoing John's stream. I know he's doing John live. I think he's doing Dave live, and there's a possibility he's doing me live. I would know if I actually talk to people. I used to be the great communicator, and then not so much. So that being said, let's see. What do I? Nope. That's about it. All right. Just want you all, stay golden, Pony Boy.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.